This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Good morning, everybody. If you could find a seat, that would be great. That way we can start with God's Word. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. I do plan to continue on Matthew chapter 5. We just finished the Beatitudes, and I just really felt from the Lord to continue on Matthew chapter 5. But we're going to fast track to almost the end of chapter 5. So it's not going to be in verse by verse order. The situation that we've been encountering citywide and nationwide is kind of propelled me to fast track to this portion of the sermon series. And Matthew 5:44 says, "You have heard," verse 43, "that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" And this is Jesus talking. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." I'd like to go on to read Romans chapter 10. Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and the kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I'm a timid person and bold only when I write far away, well, I am begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. We are human. We do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, amen? Not worldly weapons, to knock down strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us this morning to receive what the Spirit is saying. Lord, help us not to leave these doors the same way we walked in. Lord, give us listening ears and obedient hearts. Lord, I pray, God, that anything that might be clouding our thoughts right now, Lord, that you would just help us to concentrate, to take notice of what you are saying. Lord, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Help us to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and what you want to share with us this morning here at Mosaic Church. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, one of the things that I just love about the passage is that it's very challenging. And one of the things I always ask the Holy Spirit to do is, Lord, challenge my heart this morning. I think sometimes in the flesh, I just want my heart to be affirmed of whatever I'm thinking. But challenge us, Lord. Jesus is calling us in Matthew chapter 5 to supernatural love that reflects the heart of God. And so here at Mosaic Church, we must reflect the heart of God. I want to show you a little video clip, and I'm going to make sure that it's nice and loud so you can hear it, because it's an elderly lady who has a very soft voice, who's sharing this story. Her name is Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch Christian, and along with her family, helped nearly 800 Jews, hid them from the Nazis in her neighborhood in the Netherlands during World War II. She was found, her family was found, she was arrested by the Gestapo, and she endured imprisonment. If you've never heard of Corrie ten Boom, may I highly suggest you read about her life. One thing off passage here, but one thing I remember her telling her story about the fleas in her barracks. Raise your hand if you've heard about the fleas in the barracks, a few of you. Quite a lady. So after being arrested by the Gestapo, she endured imprisonment and other stuff that I'm not going to repeat here, but you can imagine what young ladies had to endure during this time. She was sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp, and where her and her sister and her sister Betsy died, where her sister died. Her stories of persecution are too gruesome to share, as I said this morning. But I'd like for us to hear her telling a story of meeting one of her guards of that prison after the war.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, Mr. Bohm, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? And suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel Aufsehers, guards, in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein ten Boom wants me forgiven. Will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies.
What a powerful testimony of what I just talked about, supernatural, counterculture, love that only Jesus can bring us. And it reflects the heart of God. Let me repeat the passage for today, Matthew chapter 5. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus is sharing this story under the hard, heavy hand of the Roman occupation. And there was nationalistic fervor, and there was lots of resentment towards the Roman oppressors. And you guys know this. And Jesus is sharing this. It's radical. It doesn't make sense to love our enemies. And we have lots of reasons, good reasons, I imagine, to not like or even hate people because of what we see happening not only to our own lives, but the lives in our community. If you guys don't know what happened at Cascade Park, it was just horrific. And it's so easy to allow, and I'm talking about myself, my guess, I am guessing that you are not that much different than I am, but it's so easy to get angry. And I've felt all sorts of emotions this week, but mostly sadness. But I only attribute the sadness to the Holy Spirit, because if you've ever heard any of my stories and some of you have heard them over and over and over again. You know that, especially as a younger man, I really struggled with vengeance and anger. Even at an early age, I remember one young lady, we were swimming, this is in South America, and we were swimming and frolicking as little kids, and her foot nicked me right on the side, and her toenail cut me. It was not on purpose. It was just an innocent mistake. My anger just literally took over, that I really wanted to hurt her. So much so that I ran down the street with a 2x4 in Tumaco, Colombia, willing to hurt her. And thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit used my mom, and my mom saw me as she ran into the store, a family store, and I ran behind her with this 2x4, and my mom grabbed me and spanked it right out of me. Thank the Lord. On a side note, I think it's funny. Okay, here, the pastors really want to be comedians. So if you laugh, it just kind of gets us going. I was joking around. I came downstairs, and please don't judge me. I had my belt out, and my grandkids were watching television, and I'm like snapping it. And I go, "Does anybody want a spanking?" They're like, "No." I go, "Do your kids spank you? Your dad spank you?" He's like, "No." I said, "Do you guys love your daddy and mommy?" I said, "Daddy?" She goes, "Oh, yeah. He's lovable because I spanked him." And so they went over their heads, and I just let it go. I'm like, "Oh, what am I talking to my grandkids about spanking? I need to stop that." Jesus is calling us to be countercultural, and it's revolutionary to challenge us of our religious norms. And to get out of what I would say are political sentiments. Why? Because Jesus wants us to reflect the heart of God. He wants us to help us to show mercy to the unjust. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, what we just read, is a new standard for those who are following Jesus. It's not legalism, it's a new heart after God. It contrasts what the Pharisees were teaching. And Jesus redefines what love is. Not as a sentiment, not something you just feel, but an action that is rooted in God's grace. It's not natural, a phileo love, but it's agape love, a love of the will. We do this all the time with our children. You know, sometimes they don't act very nice sometimes, right? But you're gonna love them anyway. It's an act of the will. We just celebrated 18 years of Mosaic Church, which is hard to believe, 18 years have gone by. I started calculating how many sermons I've preached, and including Chi Alpha for 19 years, I'm guessing I've preached about 1,200 messages, which is crazy to think about. But I can honestly say, in standing in front of you, and God is my witness, and under his eye watching me telling you this truth, that it has been his Holy Spirit and his word that has changed me. And I thank the Lord every message. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, and I shared this last week, do you enjoy pastoring? Do you enjoy it? Because, you know, in Chi Alpha world, a lot of them, you know, event happens Friday and then they go home Saturday and Sunday, and I have to come right back and want to be here. Why? Because reading and preaching God's word has discipled me. And I'm praying it does the same for you as you read. It disciples you. It says, my heart wants to be angry. My heart wants to have vengeance. That's my natural bent. But the Holy Spirit, in reading his word in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read other passages, it changes me. It's like dumping me in, I don't know if you ever worked with wood, but there's some wood up here, but sometimes you have to dump it into a water to soften the wood so it can curve. And the Holy Spirit is like that water, and it's changed me because I was bent wood. And the Lord has used that. And I want to challenge you this morning that let's take his word seriously. Jesus redefines love. It's not something we feel, but it's an action rooted in God's grace. And I thank the Lord, God, through his word and the Holy Spirit, has changed me. I haven't arrived. I always joke around, my shadow does not heal the sick. I haven't arrived, but I'm running towards him. And God has been good to me. I want to say that God is calling us to love our enemies, it's not an approval of what they've done. We're not approving of what they've done. We can hate the conduct. But love is benevolent. It's praying that God would give us mercy and a will to love our enemies. Romans 12 says, love must be sincere, verse 9. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those. You ready for this? I know we don't want to hear this week, but bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And so this morning I mourn for the loss of life. It says this in verse 17, and we were just reading in Romans chapter 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Love is active. In Luke chapter 6, 27, it says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. This is Jesus speaking. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. As I listened to Corrie ten Boom's testimony over and over again, I've heard that story at least a dozen times. And every single time, I'm amazed of the transformation of her heart. And it challenges me, Lord, help me to be more like you. Help me to reflect your character. Love your enemies. That's what the Bible's telling. It's active. We have to do something. Love is not just inactive, but it's active. It's helping people, showing kindness. Love is prayerful. I would say prayer is one of the highest forms of love. You know, when you call someone or you text someone, I'm praying for you. It's another way of saying, I love you. That I'm willing to lift up your name to the Father through Jesus is an act of love. Texted my wife this morning, I'm praying for you, honey. Come home safely. And I'm imagining she would interpret that, at least somewhat, to saying he cares about me and he loves me. So love is prayerful. Jesus and Stephen in Acts are great examples of this. This is Jesus being persecuted. He's being persecuted. In Luke chapter 23, he says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. They were beating on him. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. If you remember, we were talking about the Beatitudes, and when Jesus sits down, it says in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, That's what rabbis do. They sit down and maybe on a, not probably not a chair, but maybe a rock, and the disciples sit at a bit lower level, and Jesus is teaching. And a disciple, a follower of Jesus, they don't only hear what the rabbi is saying, they do what the rabbi is doing. And Jesus is our model. He's the one that we must emulate ourselves to. And Jesus is saying, and he is, he says it in Luke chapter 6, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And then we say love is prayerful, and God, Jesus does his prayer, he's praying to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. So not only does he teach it, he actually is walking it out. And as followers of Jesus, we are his disciples. We don't only just listen to what the rabbi says, but we do what the rabbi does. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is literally being stoned with rocks, boulders, big rocks. It's even hard to imagine. And then it says that in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, and when Stephen fell to his knees from being hit by the rocks, he cries out. So I'm saying love is prayer. He cries out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had finished saying this, a nice version says he fell asleep, but he died. So why must followers of Jesus, why must we love our enemies? And I'll be straight up with you this morning. I didn't really want to preach this message. I'm feeling I just want to be angry at my enemies. Well, I already kind of suggested it. It reflects the character of God. At the end of the verse, it literally says in Matthew 5:45, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Children of your Father in heaven. It reflects the character of God. We are a reflection of God's character. One of the things I love about our kids downstairs, that's where we keep our, we have our classes all up and downstairs, how I think they're just awesome. I think we have the best children, any church children possible. We love Rahm and I, we pray for them, we love every one of them. It is kind of funny to us how they act like their parents. And I'm talking about gaits, you know, like their gait or their laughter or their facial expression, not their anger fits, all right? As children of God, we reflect God. We are an image of God. In Matthew 5:45, I just read that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. It sets us apart. If we're gonna just do what everybody else does, it's not setting us apart. Even sinners in verse 46, love those who love them. And this is a new kingdom ethic. It's something new. And I have to ask the Lord every day, Lord, help me to reflect who you are. It would be so easy to go into the state of my natural self, but I want to live in a supernatural world through the Holy Spirit, empowering me to do what is not easy. So, but this is kingdom ethic. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 says, on the contrary, this is how we to respond to those. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. And burning coals is in a way of is conviction. It's not vengeance. Heaping conviction, not vengeance. The question I have, and I really had to think hard from myself, have you ever had an enemy that you've become friends, like a true, legit enemy? And I did have one, but I'm not gonna share the story because he's still around and I don't wanna embarrass him or I. But it was so beautiful when God brought us back together and became good friends. And it is possible. I've seen marriages where they literally hated each other. I think of two marriages that come to my mind when I was praying this week. They literally hated each other. There was no hope. And the only thing they did at the very last moment of their marriage was to bow their knee and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And years later, they've confided in us that they're madly in love with each other. When they allowed the Holy Spirit to bring in this new ethic and this new way of living for Jesus. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I will tell you that I have not lived the life that Corrie ten Boom. I would love to say that I would do exactly what she said. I don't know. But I ask the Lord to help me. So how do we do this? We know what to do, but how do we do it? That's two different things, right? I would say we start with prayer. Pray for their salvation, our enemies, that they would come to know Jesus. And that there would be transformation. It's very hard to not have the heart of God when you're praying for their well-being, their salvation, and their transformation. The Bible just told us to bless those who curse you. So we must respond by speaking the truth with grace. One thing we always have to remember is our battle is not against flesh and blood. It would be so easy for me, because I have that natural bent, to take on vengeance, to take up arms. And this is the opposite. Start with prayer. Pray for their salvation and transformation. And ask God to change our hearts too. Lord, we want to reflect who you are. Speak the truth with grace. Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. This one's really hard, and I've got to preach the word, right? I would love to just leave this part out. Look for tangible ways to serve and help. Like, well, I don't want to do that. Proverbs, again, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we not only hear what the Spirit is saying, we got to do what the Spirit is doing. Proverbs 25:21, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals, conviction on their head, and the Lord will reward you. Matthew 18. I know this passage really well because I always quote it to my wife. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So I've had to use that verse a few times. Like, Robin, remember what the Bible says. So what do we do? I'm going to ask Kyle to come and lead us in that Come Jesus, Come Again. And just Kyle's fine. Love is not a feeling. I think of the old band Foreigner. You remember the band Foreigner? Where's my friend? There he is, Mark. Mark's a blessing to me because he and I know all the 80s bands. Ski too. Yes, mostly 70s. I want to know what love is, right? There's a famous song. I had a friend who was a girl dedicate that song to me on the radio. I'm like, what? It's a little too soon in high school. Jesus has defined what love is. We don't get to define it, he does. Love is not a feeling, it's a decision to act like Jesus. So the question for us is, who is your enemy? Who do we need to pray for today? Again, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities. It's demonic spirits. I don't get to go on campus that much, as much as James and Mark and Brian and others do. And I was really challenged by an evangelist when I took him on campus. It's very easy to get frustrated when you walk on campus, just to see how people are living and what they're saying. One time, a long, long time ago, I was on campus. My kids were small, and we were walking by this one particular house that was owned by a bunch of guys. I don't know which frat it was, but they were on their roof, and they dropped their pants and just urinated in public. It was crazy. I was so furious. This is in the late 90s, because my kids were with me. And the only thing I could react was, because we caught eyes, I'm like, and I go, hey! And they all look down. Like, God sees you. And they just laughed at me. And I was like, you know, wanted to do something. I was so angry at them. And then Pastor Larry here, he had an evangelist come, and I brought him on campus. And I wanted him to kind of see that side of the... And I was just shocked at the evangelist. He started crying. He started crying. Look at these lost souls. I want to throw stones at them. And he starts weeping for them. Look at these lost souls. And the Lord just broke me. It broke me. So we need to pray for our lost souls. Amen. So who's your enemy? Who do you need to be praying for today? And we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us to live out this radical love that Jesus modeled for us. You remember in 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil with evil or insults with insults. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings. Because to this you were called so that you may... that you may inherit a blessing. And I believe that blessing is the smile of God in your life, his presence. Because he's gonna say, that's my son, that's my daughter. Look how he's reflecting my heart. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, your tough word. Lord, I know that you're speaking to me first and foremost. Lord, we pray for those who are lost. Lord, they're consumed with their fleshly desires, consumed with selfishness, and Lord, consumed with hatred. And Lord, as followers of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would just cleanse us of that kind of spirit. Lord, help us as your followers to do what the rabbi said and do what the rabbi does. Jesus. Lord, that we might be children of you, our Father. So Lord, we lift up those people, persons, groups that are lost, that they act out in all sorts of ways. It just exposes the lostness. And Lord, help us to have your heart. Help our hearts to be broken and mourn for those who are lost, that they're enraged with sin. And Lord, bring your mercy upon them. Bring your mercy upon them. Bless them, Father, with your presence. Lord, help us to always emulate who you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you for conviction. Thank you for your challenge. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm gonna just ask, just with a raising of a hand, you can say, Pastor Mario, I need help in the area of loving my enemies. Both of my hands are up. Thank you, you can put your hands down, yes. Radical, change of heart for us, Lord. A new ethics, a new way to live. Lord, help us as a church to go out this place changed by your Holy Spirit. I pray to God that we're not gonna leave this place the same way we walked in. So Lord, we pray right now on another note, pray for all those who have suffered from the hands of evilness. For the Kirk family in Arizona. Lord, be with the kids, be with the wife. Lord, for family members that were killed up in Minnesota. And I believe it was DC, the Jewish family that was gunned down. But Lord, we can go on all day. The people who were stabbed at Cascades. Lord, have mercy on our nation. Have mercy on those lost souls. So we say thank you, Father. And Lord, I just pray for our people who are in leadership that, you know, in the school system and in law enforcement. I pray, God, that you would help them, Lord, just to rely on your strength. Lord, we know that governments and city governments and law enforcement have a different role. And I pray, God, that you would help them. Help them. Empower them through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing this song one more time. And we're going to ask the Lord to just have his way.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.